choose. If you're going to live your dream, if you're going to see it fulfilled, I don't care how old you are right now, you've got to start out by seeing what God sees. If you'll start seeing God's vision, see what He sees, you'll begin to see your vision fulfilled.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Living Hope Podcast, an outreach of Living Hope Church located at 352 Charles Hoke Road, Whitney, Pennsylvania. Please stay tuned to the end to hear a closing message from Pastor Doug. Now, let's join Pastor Doug as he shares from the Word of God.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be here. To be with Pastor Doug, and it's amazing that you've shown up on a Sunday night. You know, we used to have Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and in those early years, I preached all the messages, because we had a different message Sunday night and a different message Wednesday, and then I led all the worship for the first 9 years, and then, you know, we'd grown, so I was doing 3 Sunday morning services, a Sunday night, and a Wednesday night. Can I tell you, I was tired. And the definition, somebody asked me when I transitioned the church, they said, you know, I hope you look forward to your retirement. I said, I've been retired since about, 1989. They said, really? I said, yeah, because on Monday, I am working all day long. Tuesday, we have staff meetings. Wednesday, I'm in my study all day getting ready to preach from about 5 a.m. in the morning, 4:30 in the morning. And then I don't get home till about 9 that night, because many times I'd have, sometimes 10, because I'd have counseling afterwards. Thursday, I would start thinking about Sunday. Friday and Saturday, I was in my office all day. Sunday, I'd be up at 4 a.m., and I'd work all day. And so by the time Monday rolled back around, I was tired. And so every Monday, I would just be retired. You got that, right? Okay. Pastor Doug said I'm from Louisiana, and that's true. I'm a public school graduate. Hallelujah. I'm bilingual. I speak good English and bad English, so hopefully that makes it okay tonight. But in Louisiana, we have these people called Boudreaux and Thibodeau. Anybody heard of Boudreaux and Thibodeau? They've heard about them. Okay. Well, did you know about Boudreaux had a birthday, and Thibodeau sent him a birthday present? Did you hear about that? Did you? Well, Boudreaux received a gift from Thibodeau. Thibodeau sent him a bird that spoke 7 languages. And so a couple of days later, Thibodeau calls Boudreaux. He said, Boudreaux, he said, how you like that bird I sent you? He said, man, that thing was good. He said, you didn't eat that bird, did you? He said, yeah, it tasted like chicken. He said, that bird spoke 7 different languages. Boudreaux said, well, he should have said something. We can spend all night talking about Boudreaux, but I better not. I want to talk to you about vision. Anybody have a vision? Anybody have a dream? Amen. You better have one, because God's put some seeds on the inside of you. I want you to think about this. Nearly 400 years ago, there was a group of people that came from the east, back in England and Europe, and a boatload of those travelers landed on the northeast coast of America. And the first year, they established a town site. The second year, they elected a town government. The third year, the town government wanted to build a road 5 miles into the wilderness, into the west. And the fourth year, the people wanted to impeach the town government because they thought it was a waste of money. Who wants to go out there anyway? Now, here was a group of people who had traveled 3,000 miles across a dark ocean. I mean, could see in distant lands. I mean, they risked everything, even their life, to come to a country called America, and in a few short years, they couldn't see 5 miles out of town. That might be a picture of some of you. I mean, you've got a vision on the inside of your heart, and it's been a while, and you're not going very far, and you just kind of stopped right there at the city limits, and you're not willing to go any farther. I want to read this scripture to you in Proverbs 29, verse 18. I know it's a familiar scripture to you. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That word means perish. It doesn't just mean die. It means to wander or to drift or to be afloat and just kind of let the currents take you wherever. That's where a lot of Christians are today, is that God has given them a vision, but they're just wandering around because they're doing nothing with a vision. Where there is no vision. Maybe they have it, but they're not doing anything with it. But where there is no vision, people wander, they drift, they're exposed, they're naked. That's really what that scripture means, what that word means. And it could be a picture of you. It's like that those early group of pilgrims that came to America. I mean, they got so comfortable with themselves, their surroundings, with their lives, that they couldn't see out of town any farther. And maybe that's you. Maybe you've grown so comfortable with where you're at. Things are going okay. You know, you're not seeing your vision fulfilled, but you know, you're making a living and you're surviving and all these kind of things, and this is as good as it's going to get. Can I tell you, you're missing what God wants to do for you. And I'm praying that tonight the Lord would just plant a seed in you and help you and to guide you to stir up the vision that He's put in your heart. Because vision is beyond what you can see. A vision is really a bridge from the present to the future. That's all vision is. And I know some of you might be wondering about, you know, how to define vision. Well, there's a scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. It says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered the heart of men, the things that God has already prepared for them." I want you to know that there are things that you've not seen yet that might be in your heart. There are things that you've not heard yet that God wants to bring to pass. There are things that He wants you to know in your heart that He wants to do in your life. That is what I call vision. I believe God puts something in your spirit that your eye hasn't seen. I know for me that's been very true. Vision is not for those who won't see it, but it's for those who will open their eyes and see. You know, I've got this little saying that I've always had in my mind, is that you need to close your eyes to see, and then open your eyes to believe. Because it's once you close your eyes to see, that's your vision. I'll give you an example. We built this nice multi-million-dollar building a number of years ago. We bought this land, and when I would close my eyes, I would see cars coming from every direction. I would see people flooding through the foyer into the sanctuary, and I saw these thousands of people coming into the sanctuary, and I saw people filling the altar. I could see, and with my eyes closed, all the children's ministry rooms full of children praying for each other, rejoicing, having fun. Every time I closed my eyes, you know what that was? That was a vision. 4 years and 3 months later, when we had our first service, cars began to come from every direction, lining up on the streets. The foyer was filled with people. The sanctuary was flooded with people. The classrooms were filled with children. They were rejoicing, having fun, learning about Christ. When I had an altar call, it was filled with hundreds of people getting saved. Was that the first time I'd seen it? Was I surprised when that happened? I was not surprised at all, because for years I'd been seeing it in my spirit. You know what that was? That was a vision. When you close your eyes, what do you see? What do you see about your family or your finances or about the church? What do you see about the city and the surrounding community and this area that you're in? What do you see? What do you see God wanting to do in your life? You know what that is? That's a vision. And vision comes when you close your eyes to see, but you have to open your eyes to believe, so that you can do something about that vision. I'm talking tonight about how to fulfill the dreams of God in your life. I'm talking about vision, vision, vision. How do you know if you have vision? Listen, if you are frustrated about where you are compared to what you think you should be or where you think you should be, then I'm telling you right now, that's vision. And I'm sure some of you today are dissatisfied, you're unhappy, you're frustrated because you're not just seeing things happening in your life that you want, or in your business, or in your career, or in your family. Can I tell you what that is? That is a vision. And God wants you to do something about the vision. He doesn't just want you to think about the vision. You know, because when you think about it, it's just what could be. You could die with a could be. Did you know that? I want you to think about this. This is bonus right here. You want a little bonus? Dreams never die. Dreamers do. Are you going to die with a dream? You know what they're going to put? I've told my wife, I said, here's what I want you to put on my tombstone. I don't even know if they call them a tombstone. That shows you how old I am. I'm a Medicare recipient. I'm 65. So we think tombstones. Anyway, I want to put on there that he lived the dream. That's what I want them to put on my tombstone. He lived the dream. You know where the richest place in the world is? The graveyard. Because buried in the graveyard are dreams that were never lived, books that were never written, businesses that were never started. songs that were never sung. Come on, are you here tonight? I'm talking about dreams and visions. I'm talking about seeing those things fulfilled in your life. A vision will always be a dream until there's conviction. You'll carry a dream around in your heart the rest of your life until you get serious about trying to see it fulfilled. You know, I had a little saying that I like sayings. Does anybody like sayings? And I had this little thing that came into me that I need to be devoted to what I want to make happen. And I want to say it to you. I think you need to be devoted to whatever it is you want to happen in your life. And if you have a dream or a seed on the inside of you, I believe that comes from God. You need to be devoted to make that happen, no matter what the cost of it. It requires some dedication. It requires devotion. Conviction is what gives you a sense of urgency that, you know, I've got to do this. I have to do this. I can't wait any longer. That's what you need. You need a sense of urgency. I mean, how many more years do you have? I see some of you have some white hair. Some of you are more mature than others. Some of you are maturing. Some of you want to go back and be young again, which is good. But I mean, how many more years do you have to fulfill the dream that God has given to you? Success is not a reward for talent. Success is a reward for focus. The problem with most Christians is they have a vision, but they've lost their focus. They've gotten busy with life. They've tried and failed. They've worked real hard and nothing happened. And they just said, well, I guess this is as good as it's going to be. I guess this is my fate. This is luck. This is, I guess, the will of God. And they give up on the dream and the vision that God has had. Look, if it was easy, everybody would have it. This is not easy. You've got to be devoted. You must have conviction to see that. Listen, before God can change where you're going, He has to change what you're looking at. Look, you can't have an 8x10 vision on a 3x5 card. Little binoculars don't see big things. You follow what I'm saying? We need to start seeing with the eyes of God. We need to believe a little bit bigger than we have. And I believe the Lord, I'm praying tonight, He's going to challenge you to be devoted to what you want to make happen. If you want to get closer to God, you've got to be devoted to it. If you want your family to be happier, you've got to be devoted. If you want to get out of debt, you've got to be devoted to getting out of debt. If you want to get your education, you've got to be devoted to getting your education. It's not just going to happen because you think about it or close your eyes and see it. You've got to be willing to say no to the good thing so you can say yes to the right thing. Pastor Doug, you know what I've learned over the years? Life is about elimination, not accumulation. We're the great accumulators. I'm not talking about what's in your garage or in your house. I'm just talking about we've accumulated so much life junk, you know, that we're just too busy to see our dream fulfilled. And we need to download some things. Look, I've only got one life, and I'm running out of time. I mean, 20, 30 years from now, I'm off the planet. I don't know about you. So I want to see that dream, the rest of the dream that God has put in my heart, I want to see it fulfilled. But to have that happen, I've got to be devoted to it. And by the way, whatever God has put into your heart, I want you to know that God is devoted to it. And what He's looking for is equal devotion. If you can be as equally devoted to what God is devoted to, can I tell you, nothing can stop you? Nothing can. The devil can't stop you. Real vision, a real plan from God always demands something from you. It takes dedication. I've got a revelation for you if you'd like to hear it tonight. Rewards are not given out until the end of the race. That's the revelation. Rewards are not given out till the end of the race. My daughter runs marathons. Why? I don't know. If you see me running, come help me. Somebody's probably after me. Call 911. I could probably run here to the road out in front. You need to call Flight for Life anyway. But anyway, my daughter runs marathon. First time she ran a marathon, she qualified for the Boston Marathon, the most prestigious marathon. She's a chip off the block, you know. I mean, I have to tell you something funny, Pastor Doug. I was at the hotel there, and I was waiting on somebody to pick me up. So I went to the little fitness room, you know, because I do a little weights. And so I grabbed some 25-pound barbells, and I'm just doing some curls real quick, waiting for somebody to come. There were people in the swimming pool right there. And so I saw a car drive up, thought it was, you know, my ride. So I put them all up, and I come out. And they said, man, that's the shortest workout we've ever heard or seen. I said, well, you can't have a body like this by working out too much. You know? My daughter runs marathons. She qualified for the Boston Marathon. And, you know, if you want to see your dream and vision fulfilled, you're going to have to scrape, crawl, push, shove. I mean, you're going to have to fight to see it fulfilled. Isn't that true? Well, so my daughter went to run the Boston Marathon. We went to watch her run. You know, watching somebody run a marathon is like watching paint dry. You know, I mean, what do? Just watch them. And you can only see them a couple of times on a 26-mile race. And so we took trains and did, you know, we kind of figured out where we could go so we could wave and encourage her. And then, you know, but it was the hottest Boston Marathon recorded in their history. The elite athletes were dropping out because of the heat. And they had these little tags that you could put on the shoestrings, and with an app, we could follow where she was on the course. In other words, at every 5K, we'd get a report, you know, what her time was, what her elapsed time was, that type of thing. So the first 5K, she's doing good. Second 5K, she kind of slowed down a bit, but she's doing good. The heat, I mean, it was like 90-something degrees. It's ridiculous. It was in April. Humidity is high. And then at 15K, I get a number. At 20K, I mean, she slowed down, but she's still going. At 25K, I don't see anything come up on my little screen. And I thought, after a little while, I thought, well, maybe she dropped out. Maybe she got heat prostration. Maybe she's injured. I don't know. And so I went to a medical advisor near that. We went toward the finish line. That was the only time, you know, we saw her two or three times, so we had to go and wait. So I went to the medical tent, and they said, look, we have medical tents all along the route, and they said, we don't have anybody with that bib number that has checked in. And we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And I don't know what happened to the little app thing or what took place, but about 2.5 hours later, she crossed the finish line, and she got her little medal. You know what that told me? That she was dedicated to finish that race. And I knew my daughter. I knew that if she was not injured, she was going to crawl on the ground to cross that finish line. She was going to do everything it took to cross and to finish and to get that medal. You know what? That's what it's going to take if you're going to fulfill the vision that God has given to you. It's not handed to you. You're going to have to work for it. Can I hear an amen? Amen. See, we all want it handed to us. We want it for free. We feel entitled. You're not entitled to anything. God wants to bless your life. He's put a seed on the inside of you, and he wants you to fight and scrape and push and shove and do whatever it takes to do. Now, here's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to give you three things that will help you see the dream or the vision fulfilled. Three things. I told you I'm a Louisiana public school graduate, so these are real simple things. I can understand this. In fact, these are the three things I do, in case you're wondering. These are the exact three things I do. Are you ready? Number one, you must see what God sees. If you're going to live your dream, if you're going to see it fulfilled, I don't care how old you are right now, you've got to start out by seeing what God sees. God sees what you don't see because you won't see it. That's the problem. You only want to see what you want to see. That's why, you know, the Bible says, you know, your thoughts are not my thoughts, your ways are not my ways, because you kind of have your own vision. If you'll start seeing God's vision, see what he sees, you'll begin to see your vision fulfilled. The vision is the ability to see what God sees. We just need to see with his eyes. It's what you see that makes you an optimist or a pessimist. Did you know that? You remember the story of the 12 spies that went in the promised land? 10 of them were pessimists, 2 of them were optimists. The pessimist said, we can't go into that land. There's giants in the land. There's walled cities. I mean, they're going to kill us. We are grasshoppers in our side and in theirs. There's no way. We need to turn back. Let's just go back. But Joshua and Caleb said, wait a minute. We can do this. God is with us. We are well able. We have power. We have the strength of the Lord. We can take the giants. We can take the cities. Don't be discouraged. What was the difference between the two of them? Well, the optimists, Joshua and Caleb, they could see what God saw. They saw that they were going to live the dream. They saw that they would have the land of promise. They saw they would have the land of milk and honey, that it was theirs. They saw what God saw. The pessimists only saw what they wanted to see. They saw death and destruction. They saw themselves living the nightmare, not living the dream. They saw themselves being conquered. They saw destruction. They saw death. They saw giants in the land. They saw what they saw. And those that couldn't, wouldn't see what God saw, never experienced what God intended. They never lived the dream. They died in a wilderness. You know what? I don't want to die in a wilderness saying I'm a child of God and didn't live the dream. When you see what God sees, it's up to you to determine if you're going to be an optimist or a pessimist. You get to choose your destiny. I heard about a schoolboy that brought home some bad grades on his report card. Anybody ever have bad grades? Okay, some of you are lying. Lift your hand up. Okay. All right, there we go. His father said, "Well, son, what do you have to say about this?" He said, "Well, one thing you can be proud of is, you know, I didn't cheat." That's an optimist. Isn't that right? A vision is more than just looking on the bright side of things. It's looking on the God side of things. You've got to see what God sees. I'm thinking about the ruler of the synagogue. His name was Jairus. Mark chapter 5. His daughter was dying. He knows that Jesus is in town. Thousands of people were surrounding Jesus. He pushes his way through the crowd. He finally gets to Jesus and he said, "Can you please come? My daughter is dying." And Jesus said, "Come on, let's go." And while they're going and pushing through the crowd to get to Jairus' home, Jesus stopped and said, "Somebody touched me." The disciples said, "Why, who?" He said, "Everybody's touching you." "Jesus, everybody's..." He said, no. "Somebody touched me. I felt virtue leave me." It was the woman with the issue of blood. You remember the story. Crawling through the crowd, she touched the hem of his garment. And while he was ministering to that woman, word came from Jairus' home that his daughter had died. Let me read this to you. In verse 35, it says, "And while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?'" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, he said, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And then in verse 39, he said, "She's not dead, she's just sleeping." Now think about this if it was your child. Here Jairus just got the news that his daughter is dead. In his mind, can I tell you what he was seeing? He was seeing his dead daughter laying on that bed. Cold, still, stiff. He in his mind, he thought, "I'll never see her running, you know, to come see me at the end of work. I'll never feel her little arms around my neck again. I'll never feel her little kiss on my cheek or wipe away the little tears off of her cheeks. I'll never hear her laughter again." See, that's what he was seeing. He was seeing death. But I want you to see what Jesus, this is so, I'm going to tell you, this is such a tremendous illustration of seeing what God sees. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, only believe. She's not dead, she's sleeping." See, Jesus saw what Jairus didn't see, but he wanted Jairus to see it. That's why he said to him, "She's not dead, she's asleep." Jesus saw her sleeping. Jairus saw her dead. And Jesus was trying to get him to see what he sees. I'm going to tell you right now, God is trying to get you to see what he sees. This is how you fulfill your dream, how you live the vision that God wants you to have. Of course, you know the rest of the story. Jesus goes there, raises her from the dead. Vision is about seeing things and seeing life and seeing tomorrow the way God sees it. That's called vision. You remember Danny Ost? Do you remember Danny Ost?
I was just talking to somebody about
him. I had the privilege of knowing him fairly well. Not great, but fairly well. His office was just right at Bethany. His office right down from where my office was. So I saw him when he was in town quite a bit. A tremendous man of God. He's with the Lord right now. But I'll never forget he told me something. I'll never forget. He said, "There's going to be times in your life where you need to crawl up into the eyes of Jesus and see what he sees." And can I tell you, I've walked through some dark days. How about you? Any dark days? Tragic days? Hard days? I've had them. We all have them. Where you're wondering, am I going to survive this? How am I going to deal with this? And I've had to crawl up into the eyes of Jesus. You understand what I'm saying by that? I've had to crawl up in the eyes of Jesus and quit looking at the situation with my eyes and had to see it with his eyes. That's what I'm saying about vision. Vision, it starts off by seeing what he sees. Let me ask you this. When you close your eyes, what do you see? Destruction. It's never going to happen. It's never going to get any better than this. I better just make the best of this. You know, I'll just survive somehow. Is that what you see? Or are you seeing what God sees when you close your eyes? This is the first thing you've got to grab hold of. Hey, let me ask you this. Anybody ever order anything online? That's a dumb question. I think everybody's ordering stuff online now. I mean, why go to the store when you got Amazon.com, correct? They built an Amazon distribution center not too far from where I live, and they said they should be able to make deliveries in 2 hours. That ought to be exciting. But you know, when you go online, let me give you this illustration. When you go online and you're looking for something that you want to buy, or you're just kind of perusing around, you say, man, I really like that. I think I might like to buy that, but I don't know. It's cost a lot of money. I'm not sure. And, you know, you try to pray about it. I said you try to pray about it, but you're looking at it and you really want it bad. But you click, you get off that site and you say, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But the next day when you're home and you're sitting in your recliner or laying on your couch and you kind of pull that up and you look at it again, you say, man, I really want that. That looks really cool. But then you're saying, I don't know. I mean, you put it in the cart. Have you ever put it in the cart and said, no, I'm not going to do it? I've done that many times. And then you come back the next day and you look at it again. You know what you're doing? You're getting a vision for something. And there comes a day when you put it in the cart and you say, I don't know, and you know, I don't know, click, and you check out, right? And you kind of exhale and you say, okay, hallelujah, I'm buying it. And you get real excited about it. And they give you a tracking number. Is that true? They give you a tracking number. But 2 or 3 days rolls by and you don't see it. Well, you don't get worried about it because you don't see it. Because all you have to do is go back to the website and take a look at it. Say, that's mine. I ordered it. It's on its way. And you go to the tracking number and you see kind of, you know, you track it and you see where it's at. Hey, it's going to come tomorrow before 8 p.m. Hallelujah. And when it finally arrives, you're so excited. See, you had a vision. You saw it. It was on the inside of you. You saw it. You thought about it. You prayed about it. You ordered it and you finally got it. Can I tell you what you need to do? You need to grab your Bible. I don't have a Bible with me right now, but you ought to grab your Bible and open it up. Go online and see what God has promised you. Healing and prosperity and blessing and breakthrough and all kinds of things. Mercy and grace and forgiveness and holiness and righteousness. And go online and put it in your cart. Why don't you go check out? When you check out, you're going to find that Jesus has swiped the card. He's picked up the tab and he gives you a tracking number like John 3:16 or like Philippians 4:13. Or like Ephesians 3:20 or something like that, so that when you don't see it, you still have hope you're going to receive it. See, I'm talking about seeing what God sees. We're talking about dreams and visions. I've learned something about God. When God wants to do something for you, he gives you a photo, something you can see on the inside. Is that true? When the devil wants to do something to you, he gives you a photo, something for you to see. You need to decide which photo album you're going to look at. You need to slam shut the one of the devil. I'm talking about the photo album of the devil that shows destruction. It's never going to happen. I'll never see it fulfilled in my life. It's going to cost too much money. It's going to take too much time. You ought to just close that up and begin to see what God has for you. Are you getting anything out of this yet? I'm just getting cranked up because if you're not, I'm starting over. So you better say yes. Number one. You have to see what he sees. Number two, you have to believe what he believes. You have to believe what God believes. I'm giving you the three simple steps to fulfill God's dream and vision for your life. You must see what he sees. Number two, you must believe what he believes. I believe that the Lord gives you enough faith to believe for what you've seen. And I want to say this again. I want you to grab hold of it. When it comes to vision, we forget that God is for us. God wants you to succeed. Would God be so cruel to give you a vision, a dream, and then not help you to get it? Is that the kind of God you serve? It's not the kind of God I serve. He's not going to bless you being lazy. I just heard about this pastor who would always kind of wait through the week, Lord, I need a word from God. I'm preaching on Sunday. I need a word. Saturday rolls around. God, I need a word. He just prays all the time. I need a word. Sunday morning rolls around. He said, Lord, the service is starting. I need a word. Lord, I need a word. And he finally hears a voice. God says, I've got a word for you. He says, what's that word? He said, you're lazy. Is that the word he has for you tonight? Is it you're lazy? He gave you a dream. He's given you a vision. He's shown you what your destiny and your future is going to be. I mean, we're just kind of sitting around waiting for a chunk of glory to fall out of heaven and hit us in the head. That doesn't work. You've got to see what he sees. You've got to believe what he believes. We need the ability to believe what God believes. That's called faith. And all of you have a seed called faith. Can I give you Mike Ware's definition of faith? Would that be okay? Because you know the scripture, Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. You ought to know that. Here's Mike Ware's definition. You need to act like, live like, think like, and talk like God told you the truth. Because that's faith. It's when you can live like God told you the truth, act like God told you the truth, that's what faith is. That's what faith is. Faith is believing when common sense tells you something else. You know, faith is not logical. It's not practical. It's not rational. It's contrary to every experience, and the knowledge you have is contrary to all those things. It's not anything that we can explain through methods or systems or guarantees. So we have a tendency not to trust if we can't get a guarantee somehow. But I want you to know that faith is really trusting God. That's all it is, just trusting God. It's like the man I heard about. He was walking at night, and he didn't realize he was real close to the edge of a cliff. And as he was walking along, he slipped off the edge of the cliff, and he was falling down the face of that cliff, and he grabbed hold of a root or a branch or something that was sticking out of the side of that thing. Now, it was dark. I mean, pitch dark. Now, he didn't know that the ground was only 2 feet below him, and he could have just let go, and he'd have been fine. But he thought if he let go, he was going to plummet to his death. So he's hanging on to this root. He's saying, help, help, is there anybody up there? And here's a voice, I'm here. He said, Lord, is that you? He said, yes, that's me. He said, help, help. He said, do you trust me? Oh, yes, Lord, I trust you completely. Good, then let go of the branch. He said, help, help, is there anybody else up there? You see, you and I say we trust God until he tells us to let go of the branch. Isn't that right? You say you have faith. And all of us have faith as long as life doesn't require anything from us. Hello, are you here? But it's when life requires something of you. That's the test. That's the test we all face. It's whether or not we can let go of the branch, that we really trust God or not. It's easy to have faith when there's no requirements of us. But the thing about vision is that it's usually bigger than our abilities. We've got to trust God. We've got to see what he sees. Then we have to start believing what we've seen. We have to believe what God believes about us. And sometimes the vision that God gives you costs you more than you want to spend. It takes more skill and talent than you possess, and you can't do it alone. And so we give up. We throw our hands up. And this frightens so many people that they would rather quit living for what can be and live for what was. 30-some years ago, we left Louisiana to go plant this church in Colorado. Didn't know anybody. Had no place to live. No one was waiting on us. There was not a building. We had no income. I packed up my 5-year-old and my 8-year-old. My 8-year-old is now the pastor of our church. He's 40. The same boy that I whipped his hind end 200 times at least is now my pastor. We packed everything up with a vision. I saw what God saw, but I believed what he believed. And I trusted the Lord. Let me tell you, 1,300 miles in a U-Haul that could hardly go past 50 miles an hour. We put everything we owned in there. We risked everything, our life basically. All of the money we had, which was not much, our reputation, everything for a dream, a vision. And about every mile that I went by, I kept hearing voices. One would say, you're being foolish. Another one saying, you're being faithful. You're being foolish. You're being faithful. I heard that for 2.5 days. You're being foolish, and you're being faithful. You know, the voice I decided I was going to listen to and believe was the voice that I was being faithful. When I look back now 30-some years and see what God has done and the thousands of people that he's touched, and the thousands of souls that have been saved, I'm glad I believed what he believed. What about you? Do you believe what he believes? Paul had it right when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We quote that scripture, but do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? I'm praying that tonight you might make a decision. You might make a decision to believe. I don't want you to be like that person, this guy that I knew that was having a hard time making a decision. I mean, I asked him, I said, do you have trouble making a decision? He said, well, yes and no. You have to see what he sees. You have to believe what he believes. Number three, you have to do what he does. You have to do what he does. God never gives you a vision without provision. Now, he doesn't hand everything to you on a platter. You may have to grow and develop some things, but he gives you everything you need to see the vision fulfilled. He's given you ability, talent, skills to work to obtain what is necessary to receive the vision. You're fully equipped. I mean, you've got everything you need right now. You just need to start working with it. You need to do it. You just need to do it. I remember a pastor friend of mine. We have horses, and he has horses, and his son-in-law married his daughter, of course, and his son-in-law's dad has a 30,000-acre ranch in New Mexico, cattle ranch. And so we go out there and harass the cattle. That's what I call it. We play cowboy. And, I mean, I know something about cattle and things, but anyway, we go out there, and he was telling me he was out there one time because his daughter lives out in that area near the ranch, and he has his young granddaughter who was about 5 or 6 years old. And, you know, if you're on a cattle ranch, you're working, and I've done this, you're up at 4 a.m, you saddle your horse, you get everything ready, then you have a big breakfast, and you take off, I mean, while it's still dark, to go out. I mean, 30,000 acres is a lot of ground. I mean, we gathered 1,300 head of cattle for 3 days from ravines down in canyons and everything else so that we could get them together, sort brands, and then they would ship them. And so, anyway, he was there working on the ranch, and he was up early, worked all day, rode the horse all day, and he comes home, and he's worn out. And he plops down in the chair, and his little granddaughter jumps up in his lap and says, come on, Grandpa, let's go outside and play. Her name was Spring. He says, Spring, he says, I'm tired. I don't want to do this. I'm worn out. I don't want to get up and play. Come on, Grandpa, let's go play. Let's go ride horses, Grandpa. He said, I've been on a horse all day long. Can I borrow you for a minute, Doug? Just put that down for a second. Come over here.
You don't need a horse.
I don't need a horse.
Okay,
I won't tell you what part of the horse I need, but that's...
Yeah, I'm your man.
That's right, yeah. You're the man. And so... I mean, she just jumps in his lap because she's begging him to go do this. He's worn out, and she jumps up, grabs his cheek, squeezes them together, puts her head against his head, and she says, come on, cowboy, you can do it. Thank you. You are. You know what the Lord's trying to do right now? He's trying to grab your cheeks. He's put his head on your head. He's got his eyes on your eyes. He's saying, come on, cowboy, you can do it. You can do this thing. You can live your dream. See what I see, believe what I believe, and go do what I do. Jesus said this in John 5, verse 19 and 20. He said, Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son of God can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. Do you see what I'm seeing? He said, I only do what I see the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show you even greater things than these. Jesus makes it so clear. If you want to fulfill God's vision, you have to do what he does. What do you think God is doing right now? Do you think God is devoted to your dream? Do you think he's devoted to your vision? Well, he should. He gave it to you. He's committed to it. He's sold out. He's dedicated. He wants to see you live that dream. That's what he wants. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. What do you see the Father doing? Do you see the Father moving against obstacles in your life? Do you see him fighting your enemies? Do you see him lowering blessings? Do you see him lifting burdens? What do you see him doing? What do you see him doing? When you see it and prepare for it and change for it and do what he does, something is going to happen in your life. If you want to see the sick healed, why don't you do what you need to do to see the sick healed? Why don't you lay hands? Why don't you believe there's power in your hands? Go lay hands on and pray with faith. If you want to see prosperity come in your life, why don't you do what you see the Bible telling you to do? Why don't you tithe, first of all? Why don't you start giving like God says? Well, quit being a thief. Why don't you learn how to live a generous life? And you'll start, I'm just saying you need to do what he says to do. This is not rocket surgery. Most are not paying attention, Doug. I'm just telling you right now. I want you to know it takes courage to step into the vision. It takes a lot of courage. It's not easy. I know it's not easy. It takes a lot of courage to leave things you knew, like I've done, you've done, friends, family, all those things, and put it all on the line. It just takes courage to step into that, to start that business or to go back to school or to whatever it might be. It takes a lot of courage to do it, to see what God sees and believe what he believes and do what he does. It requires some bold faith. Takes courage. I'm going to close with this story. There's a man by the name of Ray Blankenship. He was, I don't know how it is around here, but in Louisiana, you know, we get these, we call them gully washers. I mean, it rains. I mean, you get a lot of rain here. Colorado, we get spit. We don't get rain. But I mean, it rained so hard for several days. Ray Blankenship got up, and as he was fixing breakfast, he looked out of his back window where there was a big drainage area. And I mean, it was churning muddy with water and flooding. And as he was fixing his breakfast, he saw a child caught up in the current. This is a true story. And he knew that that child, as that drainage went under the bridge, it would go around to a culvert. And if that child got in that culvert, he's going to drown. Ray, while he was still in his pajamas, dropped everything that he was doing. He ran out his back door. He tried to run and get ahead of that little girl, and he flung himself into those churning, muddy waters. He didn't know what was going to happen. Somehow, miraculously, he was able to grab this little girl's arm. He went under the bridge. He knew that the roaring culvert was not far away. He thought, if I could just grab hold of something, maybe I could hold on long enough until the rescuers come. Somehow or other, his hand grabbed a rock. And he did better than what he thought. He was able, before the rescuers got there, to pull that little girl out and to save himself. They were treated for shock. 3 months later, he received the Coast Guard Silver Life-Saving Medal. But, you know, that award was fitting for a selfless person like Ray, but he put himself at greater risk than most people know. Ray couldn't swim. It took courage. He had a vision. I'm going to save that little girl. I'm going to save her. He had a vision. It took courage to throw himself into these raging waters when he knew he couldn't swim. If you're going to live your dream, you're going to live your vision, you've got to see what God sees. Close your eyes and start seeing what he sees. You need to believe what you're seeing. You need to do what God does. That's going to take trust and faith and courage. It takes courage to say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. It takes courage to say, I'm going to let go of that branch. It takes courage to say, Lord, is that you walking on the water? Let me come to you walking on the water. It takes courage to fling your leg out of that boat and start walking on that water. That's what it takes, is courage. Courage. Everyone in this room has a dream. Everyone in this room has a vision. And I want you to know that right now you have all things that pertain to life and godliness. In this earthen vessel, Paul says, is treasure. You've got a treasure on the inside of you. Now, are you going to die with the treasure? Are they going to bury you in that cemetery that's so rich with dreams that were never lived, businesses never started, songs never written or sung, lives that were never lived? I'm living the dream. You know, the reality is better than the dream. You do know that, don't you? Isn't it about time that you start living the reality of your dream? Heavenly Father, I thank you that tonight you're stirring our hearts about the dream, the vision you've given us. Lord, some in this room have tried so hard They're wondering, why, Lord, am I not making any progress? Why is it so hard? Father, why? You know, I'm tired, Lord. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to give up. There's no need to try anymore. I've tried that, done that. I prayed and nothing happened. I'll just live out my life and just realize that this is my fate. It's not going to get any better than this. And I'll just do the best I can. Lord, that's not your dream. That's not your vision for us. And there are some here tonight that have maybe just given up and quit. And I'm praying that this message might stir them and challenge them to start seeing what you see. While your heads are still bowed for a moment, are some of you struggling with your dream? Slip your hand up. Just say, that's me, Pastor. You're never too old to live your dream. You're never too young to start it. Amen. There's about half of you that lifted your hands. Father, there are people in this room. They've been struggling, been challenged, Lord, by the failures that they've had. Lord, I'm just so reminded of the successful youth pastor that when people ask him, how is it that you became so successful? He said, for every 200 things I tried, one worked. I'm praying, Lord God, that they'll rise up one more time, those that lifted their hands, and try one more time, and one more time, and one more time, and one more time in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that as we get to the end of our life, we'll hear the well done, and we'll say, we lived the dream in Jesus' name. Everybody look at me for just a moment. Somebody found Christopher Columbus's diary. You know, he sailed across unknown oceans and discovered lands and all this kind of thing. And many, they said there was a repetitive entry in his diary that I thought should be the motto for every Christian. It says, this day we sailed on. He just kept sailing till he found the new lands. You know, maybe you're not seeing the success you want. Why don't you just make the decision, this day I'm sailing on. Because there's going to be a day when you're going to say, land ho. And the great discovery of your dream will be a reality. Now, one last thing before I close tonight. I travel a lot, and that's not fun. Everybody thinks it's glamorous. It's not fun. It's like herding cattle into cattle cars. Every once in a while, I'm at the hotel room or something, I turn on the television, and I was watching one of these car shows. You know, where the guys buy these old cars? Some of you guys probably have seen it. They buy the old cars, they fix them up and sell them for a lot of money. You ever seen those kind of shows? I don't know if women like to watch that. I don't know why I like to watch it, but I just think it's pretty cool. And I was watching it one time, and I was fascinated because this guy was trying to buy an old vehicle, and what he went to look for, he didn't like anything. And so he's leaving, and he sees in this tall grass about this high, a rusted-out roof, and he said to the guy, he said, what's that way over there? He said, oh, you wouldn't be interested in that. And he goes over and he sees this old rusted out, beat up thing stuck in the mud, stuck in the grass. And he ends up making a deal to buy it for like $500 or $600. And the rest of the program is about him fixing the thing up. I mean, he paints it. He puts new upholstery. He puts new wheels. He puts a new engine. He does all these things. And sells it for $75,000. I said, give me some of that. And the Lord gave me a picture of you. He said, that's a picture of some of you. You're stuck up in the weeds of life. You don't know how you jumped the curb. You don't know how you got stuck in the mud, but you just got there. And life grew up around you, and you've rusted out. You know, if you would do like this man did, he had a wrecker, a tow truck, that they pulled out a big, long cable, hooked it to the bumper, and they pulled it out. And he took something that looked so rusted out, so worn out, something that didn't look useful, and turn it into something that was beautiful. That could be a picture of you tonight. And if that is, if you just say yes to the Lord tonight, the Holy Spirit will pull out this long cable and hook it into the back of your bumper, and he'll pull you out of that mess. He'll pull you out of the weeds. He'll pull you out of the mud. I don't care how long you've been there. He'll put some new wheels on you, and he'll paint you. He'll restore you. He'll put new engine. He'll put some fire inside of you. And he'll put you on his highway. All you have to do is say yes. One more time, just close your eyes. Be respectful of the person nearby you. Are you the one that's stuck up in the weeds? You're here tonight. I'm so grateful. But you know your life has gotten stuck. You jumped the curb. You once had a lot of fire, a lot of energy. You were really going down the highway with God. But you got tripped up. And the weeds have grown up in your life. You're stuck up in the weeds. Is there anybody here tonight that would say yes to the Lord? He needs to pull you out. Would you let him pull you out? Five hands, six hands, eight, nine, 10, 11 hands. It's 12. Who would have thought it? See, it's pretty easy to get lost, isn't it? It's pretty easy to lose your way in life. Father, you see the precious people. These are your people, Lord. Jesus, you have paid the price for every one of them. And tonight, some have raised their hands saying, I don't know how I got here, Lord, but I'm stuck. Tried to get myself out, but I keep getting stuck again. And now life has grown up around me, the weeds. I'm just stuck. I'm up in the weeds somewhere, and I can't get out. No matter what I tried, I keep failing. But tonight, I lifted my hand to say to you, I want you to pull me out. I want you to restore me. I want you to renew me. I want you to make me new again. I want old things to pass away. And Lord, I know I've failed you. I know I've made mistakes. I know I've sinned. I know I've trespasses and iniquity. Lord, all those things are in my life. I know that. But I'm asking you tonight to restore me. Put fire in my belly again. And make me valuable again, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for this, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. I think we ought to thank the Lord for those who just responded to that. Amen. Pastor Doug, thank you for letting me come and share tonight. And I'm just believing God's going to do some great things in this church. Amen.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. This is Pastor Doug. I hope this message helps you grow in your faith and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only that, I hope this podcast becomes a practical way about where your faith not only impacts your life, but the lives of those around you in your community and even your nation. We'd love to see you in one of our services. And here's Will to tell you about local service times and locations. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks, Pastor Doug. Living Hope Church is located at 352 Charles Hoke Road in Whitney, Pennsylvania, across from the post office. Our services begin Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and childcare is provided. For more information, check us out on the web at www.hopealive.net. You can send us your prayer requests and comments to podcast@hopealive.net. Until next time, God bless you from Living Hope Church.